Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Discover a New Beginning Blog Talk Radio. Our show, Phenomenally Yours, broadcasts weekly on Blog Talk Radio and We Speak Life Radio. This show is inspired by and dedicated to all the phenomenal men and women who are making a difference. Whether someone recognizes your worth or not, know that you are awesome. Our guest today is Melani Shani, personal growth and development expert. Melani is a personal growth and development expert, a life coach. She has seen life coach arena described in several different ways over the past few years. Is it positive thinking? Is it therapy? Is it just for people who have problems? With over two decades as a life coach, motivational speaker, workshop leader, and most importantly, real life in the trenches, coaching experience, her vision is unique. Melani's fusion is her intuition, experience, and professional training supports her in tapping into the authentic nature of her clients by helping them to discover and begin to live the authentic life they were born to live. Melani is an internationally known life relationship coach, and she has supported clients all over the world. Those clients range from corporate executives, high-ranking government officials, to celebrity stylists, entrepreneurs, attorneys, and stay-at-home moms. Melani sometimes referred to as mesmerizing for her ability to captivate any audience or as the transformer for her skill and ability to inspire her clients to transform now and live their best life. She is known for her simple yet powerful coaching style with her combination of true life stories and simple tools and techniques. She connects with her clients both on an intimate and individual level so that they can succeed in any area of their lives. Melani has served as the CEO for Melani Shani Global Empowerment for over 25 years, which is an organization that inspires, supports, and elevates individuals, the community, and ultimately the world through private and group life coaching and motivational speaking. She is a certified professional life coach, a certified relationship and bereavement coach, and is leading the way as she continues to support the best and brightest in the areas of personal growth and development. Melani is also a certified professional energy worker. She specializes in natural, psychological, and spiritual arts and science. Today, Melani offers a wide range of programs and services from group and private coaching to workshops, seminars, and keynote speakers. Welcome to our show, Melani. We are so pleased that you could join us today. Welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Linda. It is amazing to be here. Thank you for having me.
So tell us. How did your journey begin? How did you get from where you were to where you are now?
Whew. Well, you know, it was so funny because early on, I started to ask my mother. She said when I was very young, 5 years old, started to ask her about God and spirit. And so she started to teach me these hymnals to teach me about God. So I started singing. And so I grew up singing, and I thought, hey, that's my calling. I started singing in bands, and I was moving around the world and doing this and around different places singing. And so I thought that was my calling. And so while I was doing all of that and went to work for the government, following my family and all the things that my family did, you know, we work for the government, you work for the government. And then what happened was I started to get these inklings. People would come up to me or my friends or people around, I would start to feel them. And I would feel like something going on with them, so I'd ask them, you know, if they were okay, and then they start telling me their life, and then things would just start to come forward for me. So I had came, just to give you a little background, I came from I had a traumatic childhood, had a lot of joy and a lot of pain. And so a lot of verbal and physical abuse. I had homelessness and all kinds of bad relationships. I went through a lot and was carrying a lot of the pathology of pain from my family. And so when I came out, because I had all that trauma, it has a tendency to pop you open. And so I was so wide open, but still at the same time protected. So I wanted to tell people and help people, but I wasn't allowing myself to receive at the same time because I didn't trust. And so my whole thing was to serve people, serve people, serve people, serve people. Just give to people, give to people, give to people, but depriving myself at the same time. So I decided I wanted to sing, and singing was going to be my thing, and it was going to free me. But I went through a lot of situations in that industry that was not freeing. It was not free. So I started to see people and feel their issues, and things were coming through me, and people would come back and say, oh, my God, that changed my life. Thank you so much. And so just to make a long story short, I was helping and supporting a lot of people, but I was depleted, I was broke, and I was broken. I was helping so many people, but I didn't value what was going on. I didn't value myself. I had no self-value or self-love. Everybody outside of me was, you know, way more worthy than me, way more valuable than me. And I just felt like I was like on the knees, kind of a Cinderella servant. And so what happened was I met two people who today I definitely owe so much to, because they supported me in my own healing. Because as I was going through, you know, trying to make it, trying to make something out of myself, trying to prove myself, I wasn't doing my inner work. I was all outside of myself, external, trying to find someone who would tell me that I was valuable, trying to find someone who would love me. And really, I just need to turn to myself and love myself. And so I met these two people, Dr. Reginald and Antoinette Warrell, and I met them in the early 90s. And they worked with me for literally 5 years. It took me 5 years to be able to see myself. And what they taught me was I was looking at myself through other people's eyes. I wasn't looking at myself through my own eyes. That's why I couldn't see me. I was looking at myself to what other people said I was. Other people said I wasn't worthy. I didn't do enough. I didn't have enough. I didn't show up enough. I didn't, you know, I wasn't educated enough. I wasn't skinny enough. I wasn't light-skinned enough. Whatever people said, that's how I saw myself. And so during this five-year apprenticeship program, I really did begin to see myself through my own eyes. It was very difficult for me. I had to let go of a lot. I mean, I had to let go of everything just about that I had learned, you know, about me. I learned a lot because I went through I took a lot of classes and learned a lot of modalities and Reiki and self-hypnosis and all that because I was always seeking. But in all of my seeking, I never really was seeking myself. And so it took me to be with people, which I didn't like. I didn't like people at the time. And it took me to be with them to be able to look in the mirror in their eyes and see me. Mm-hmm. And so when I actually woke up, I called it my awakening. One day I just woke up and it looked like somebody had turned the lights on in my life. But it took me 5 years. And so when the lights came on in my life, I made a commitment. I was no longer now a singer or pursuing a singing career, but what I wanted to do is I wanted to support others in knowing you don't have to be in pain.
Right.
You don't have to not be able to see yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be out here searching for love. That's what I wanted to do. And so from that time until now, because I really was doing that anyway with no value in myself, just allowing myself to be a vessel and conduit. But because I had no value in myself, it left me broken. And so when I started doing it with my own self-value, it was an incredible transformation that happened in my life, and I was able to support people while supporting myself, generosity and reciprocity, and learning how to really receive and give at the same time. And so that's basically how I started. And so when I had such a phenomenal change, I was like, there's no way I could go out here and just think about myself. I have to go out here. And so I was really the client that they had in 20 years. They said I was the worst client they had. And I was the only client that came out. It was horrible. I was the only client who came out really doing this work. And so it really is, it was an incredible journey for me. I never thought I would be where I am now, because that was my dream, to just be able to help people and support people full time. And I've been here for 25 years, and it's just been an incredible journey, and I am very, very grateful.
Yeah, and you know, you said something very, very prophetic. We do look at ourselves through the eyes of someone else. Because, you know, Milani, we can get up in the morning, right, get dressed, get ourselves in the mirror, and really feel good about the way we look. And we can run across someone whose opinion we shouldn't value, but we do. And they can make a comment like, oh, you're putting on a little weight, aren't you? And all of a sudden, we begin to question whether or not we should have worn what we have on. And so just totally forgotten our own opinion of ourselves, and now we are looking at ourselves through someone else's eyes who has their own agenda about the way we look and what we're doing. So why do you think we, particularly and especially women, Milani, why do you think we have such a problem loving ourselves? Now, we are nurturers. You know that. We were created to take care of other people so we can love our spouse. We definitely can love our children, our parents, our siblings. Yet, we have such a problem loving ourselves. Why do you think that?
Well, that's a really awesome question, Linda, because, you know, I want to just comment on one thing you said, because it's very powerful, before I move into that. But, you know, you said, you know, people who have their own agenda. Yes, they do have their own agenda. And not only that, they have their own pathology of pain. So when people are in pain and they've been conditioned, then they're looking out of tainted eyes, filtered eyes. And so we let people come up on us with tainted and filtered eyes and tell us who we are. So I think one of the main reasons why we as women don't love ourselves is because we're not taught to love ourselves. I always ask my clients, you know, when they say, man, I should have known this, this is so simple. And I'm like, well, who taught you? Why should you have known it? Where did you learn it? You know, you saw your mother give. You saw your grandmother give. Who taught you to love yourself? See, we don't learn how to love ourselves. We learn how to nurture other people, love other people, be in service to other people, fix other people. But nobody really sits us down when we're like young and says, love you first. That's selfish. You know, back in the day, in the 90s, when I was, you know, coming in with the self-discovery stuff and telling people to really love themselves, they were like, that's selfish. I was like, what's that selfish? You know what I'm saying? Let's do that. What's wrong with that? You know, and so it's not really that we don't want to love ourselves. We do, but we feel guilty. We feel ashamed because that's selfish. And for me, it's okay that I'm being selfish because I'm in good health. And I love myself, and I'm not shriveling up because I'm giving so much to others. I am completely depleted. I'm not on medications because I can't even control my mind because I'm completely depleted. I'm not out here in desperation giving myself to any and everybody because I'm completely depleted. And so when you are completely depleted, you can, there's no energy to love yourself. When you have given it all out, you have none for yourself. And so the thing is to stay with yourself, be with yourself first, take care of yourself first. I encourage my clients to do spiritual daily practices. And one of their spiritual daily practices is to have a self-care day. And on your self-care day, you come to your coaching sessions, you can take a bath, you can go to the sauna, you can do yoga, you can go for a walk, you can do whatever it is you want to do for you. So important. I tell my mothers, they're like, well, I got to take care of my kids. Yeah, but if you're depleted and in the bed and can't be fully present with your kids, how is that helping them?
Exactly right. That's exactly right. Because even on the airplane, what do they tell you? They say, put your mask on first.
Yes.
And then you help somebody else. And we
that's
forget
right.
that. You know, that's very powerful. And you're absolutely right, because we were, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I have been called selfish by my previous husbands, and I've had a couple, two or three of those. And it sent me to a place where I didn't feel good about myself. And that's, you're right, and I, programming that's preconditioning, you know, we are so preconditioned by the values and mores of other people, particularly our parents, because, you know, that's who we were taught by, and they were taught by their parents, and so a lot of the ways that we value ourselves are archaic, because they're
exactly.
just passed down from generation to generation. So I can remember the first time I asked a man to dance, I was so proud of myself, Melanie, because I'm not talking about a young person. I was already had been married, divorced, and I had a child at this point. So you know, I was probably in my late 20s, early 30s. And I went to a party, and I asked a guy to dance, and I had such a good time. And I remember running home and calling my mother, and I was so happy. And I said, Mama, guess what I did today? And she said, what, baby? I said, I went to a party, and I asked a man to dance with me. She's like, oh, really? So when did you start doing all of that? Because we were taught that you don't ask a man. You wait, you know, my generation, you wait. You don't ask. You wait for whatever. And so consequently, we missed out on a lot of things because we waited. So how do you think your childhood played a role in who you've become as a woman and as a professional? Are you there? What happened? Melanie?
I'm sorry, I'm here. I apologize. Yes. So, you know, I always ask myself that question. I'm always in that. Can you hear me?
Yes, uh-huh, you're good.
Okay, good. So I always have asked myself that question in the past, you know, like, why did I go through this? Why did I have to go through all of this trauma? But what I realized when I started helping women, Linda, was that I had to go through everything I went through so that I could have the capacity to support and assist the women that come to me today. Because when I tell you, and you probably know this too, when I tell you I've heard some stories, because I know you've heard some stories. And a lot of people, Linda, because they haven't been through anything, they don't even have the capacity to sit and listen, let alone assist and support someone who is going through. And so all of the things that I went through, all of the homelessness and the painful relationships and the abusive relationships, both physically and verbally, all of that, I was able to rise out of that. And so now I am a living witness that that can be done. And not only was I able to rise out of it, which makes me a survivor, but I also got out of it becoming who I am authentically, who God
That's
put
right.
me on this earth to be. So I didn't just come out of the pain and the trauma. I got to see who I really am and get on my true path. And so I tell people all the time, it's like your childhood, once you can heal, because I meet a lot of people who are like, if they're 40, say they're 45 or 50, emotionally, they still 12 and 13.
That's
so
exactly
I tell them,
right.
you got to grow up 30 years. So we got 30 years to grow you up. Okay. Emotionally and spiritually, you are immature. You know,
right.
And so the thing is that when you meet people who are spiritually and emotionally immature, they are still stuck. So I have to go in, and thank God I have this this well-developed intuition, this gift to see into people's pain, to see into their fears, to see where they got stuck. And so when we go back and we find where the stuff, we don't need to talk about the situation. What are we talking about the situation for? We just need to pull that root. And
that's
once
right.
we pull the root, the weed, once we pull that bad root, then the tree can grow. And so that's
right.
really what I tell people. You know, your childhood may have been bad. Your childhood may have been horrible. But all of that was purposeful if you get to your purpose. And so my childhood contributed a lot to who I am today because, like I said, there was a lot of joy, but there was also a lot of pain. And so it taught me very early on the strength of both, the strength of being joyful and the strength of being able to overcome the pain, the strength of keep moving, the resilience in life, because I need that now as a woman out here that's an entrepreneur that's in the healing industry and really being out here helping women and supporting women, believing in what it is that I'm called to do by spirit, and I'm not really even set up in, like, the status quo, like a church or something like that, you know, I have to believe in me. I have to believe in the energy and the healing that's flowing through me. And all of that came out of me not believing in me. All of that came out of me seeing myself, not believing in me, and then how things worked out, which were not good. And then seeing how when I did believe in me and what was coming through me and through the Spirit of God, then everything worked out well. So for me, I have no choice but to follow my spirit. Whatever I'm hearing in my spirit, which is my highest divine self, then that's what I have to do. And I would never have been connected with that higher divine self if I hadn't been through hell and back. Because a lot of people ain't been through nothing. They don't know nothing about the highest divine self of them.
That's right. They don't
know,
have
all
a
they know,
clue.
Go ahead. Huh?
That they don't have a clue. You are absolutely
they're
right.
Clueless.
Because they're clueless. You know, I work with women that are in transition. And so that transition can be as a result of anything. So I've worked with women in transitional housing that have been homeless. And you're absolutely right. Unless you have been there, it's very difficult for you to relate to where they are. So I walk in the room, and I can see the expression on these ladies' face. You know, they're saying that she doesn't have a clue. She doesn't have a clue what I'm going through. And so I start out by saying, I've been homeless, I've been an alcoholic, I've been a drug dealer, I've been a victim of domestic violence, and I've been an attempted murderer. That's what I was. Mm. I am here today to represent the joy on the other side of through. So you
all
are
right
absolutely
now.
You have got to be your authentic self, and part of your authenticity is the crap that we had to go through. Because I say, Lord, I thank you for where I am now, but if you had asked me, I would have suggested another path for me to get here other than the pain that I went through.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But he doesn't ask. And so you're right, and you talked a little bit then about energy. Talk to us a little bit about your role as an energy worker. What exactly is that?
Okay, so what I do basically is I take a lot of a combination of many modalities like Reiki and cellular memory releasing, which is a DNA clearing and activator. And so what I do is I perform what I call clearing. So I do this in private sessions, and I also do it in workshop settings. And so I talk a lot about letting go. Remember when I was talking about my childhood and everything that I had to go through, and then I had to let it all go so I could get to my authentic self. And so that's what the clearings are all about. So everything that you go through goes in your body as energy. Okay, so you have a bunch of bodies, okay? You got the emotional body, the spiritual body, the mental body, the physical body, right? And so everything that you deal with, everything that you go through, I give my clients a picture of it as like marbles. Just say you got a whole bunch of marbles going into your belly. Every time you go through something, you swallow a marble. Okay, so that's energy. So when you got, you know, your husband you was with cheated on you, that's a marble. When your mama didn't believe in you, that's a marble. When your teacher told you was dumb, that's a marble. When somebody told you was fat, that's a marble. And so you get all these marbles in your body, okay? And when your body gets full up to the top of marbles, that's when we start to see the presence of dis-ease in our bodies, because this is a symptom that we are full. That's why there's a book by Louise Hay that says You Can Heal Your Life, and she talks about all of the emotional symptoms of physical dis-ease. And so she tells us that if you are having problems with your liver, then that represents fear. And so if I have a client who comes in and he says he has liver issues, then I'm going to go to I'm going to go straight to what are you angry about? I had one client who came in, he was an older guy, and he's having some serious liver issues. And he was like, I don't know why, I don't drink, I never drank, I never did this, I never did that, I was in the service, I did this, I did that. I was like, so who are you angry at? And he had high blood pressure. I said, your blood is boiling, and your liver is angry. So who are you mad at? He said, I ain't mad at nobody. I'm peaceful. I'm happy. My wife is happy. You know, my job, my business is doing good, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, that's where you are now. Tell me where you've been. And so what we discovered was it was a situation that happened 15 years ago with his best friend that put him in jail. And he was in jail for 4 years based on what his friend did. And he was still angry about it.
Uh-huh.
So we were able to do what I call a clearing. And so I go straight to the liver area, and I do I send loving light energy there. And then I ask the client to breathe and release and forgive and let go. And so we have energy centers in our bodies called chakras. And so these energy centers have to be cleared, because if they're muddy or if they're slow or they're sluggish, then we can't get to our full vibration, which gives us an opportunity to manifest and create through synchronicity instead of through the grind. You know, we like to grind. Let's grind. Let's get it done. But most of the time we grinding, we can't sustain it. If we create on purpose instead of haphazardly, then we can sustain it. And so energy centers in the body have to be clear. Your organs have to be cleared. And so the reason why they're not is because you're carrying emotional pain from years and years and years. And so what we do in energy sessions is we use the universal energy, the chi energy, the kundalini energy, the life force energy. It's called a lot of different things. We use that to clear energy centers, to clear the organs. And it really is just simple as connecting with the person and moving your hands. You really don't even have to touch the person. But you can connect with that person's energy and begin to clear as they intentionally in their mental bodies begin to clear. You're clearing their emotional and physical bodies. But the client has to give its body permission to let that go. And a lot of clients have issue with that because it feels like something is leaving them that they need. And so I've had clients sit straight up on a table and say, no. I'm like, what do you mean, no? Well, who am I going to be if I don't have this? I feel like something is leaving me. And it's like something is leaving you. It's your pain. Let it go. And so I kind of attribute to when people come to see me, they set themselves on fire, like the phoenix. Know the story of the phoenix? A lot of people don't know that story of the phoenix rises from the ashes. The phoenix sets itself on fire. So when my clients come to me, they're setting themselves on fire. But the thing is that you have to remember, once you set yourself on fire, what the fire leaves is ashes. And so I have a lot of clients who are walking around with soot and stuff on the floor because they still run around with ashes all over them. And so I tell them, I said, listen, when you set yourself on fire, you got to drop the ashes so you can fly.
Right.
And so that's what we do because the ashes are heavy. And you walk around with ashes and soot all over you, you can't see. And nobody can see you. You're literally invisible with the ashes of the past that you tried to burn away, but you won't let it go.
And that's that baggage. I talk about baggage. We carry baggage, don't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that energetically, that's what we do. We carry all of the experiences that we've ever been through until we intentionally let it go. And if we don't intentionally let it go, then it's still with us, which that's why we get 50, 55, 60, and we start to get diseased. Our body
that's
is
right.
uneasy. Our hearts are we're either exploding on people or we're imploding on the inside. So we're having heart attacks because we're feeling in pain. Our hearts are broken.
That's
we
right.
have high blood pressure because we're angry. Our kidneys because we're fearful. We got so many doggone dialysis clinics on every corner because people are so afraid.
Do we? Oh, my goodness. Every time you look up, there's another dialysis clinic. And I said
every
that the other
time.
Like, what the heck is going on?
It's fear.
You're absolutely
that's what's
right.
going on. Everybody.
You know, we just have a hard time letting go. We just want to carry that stuff around. You know, I give an analogy, and I say, you know, it's like when you return from a flight, the first thing you do is you go to baggage claim. And if your bag isn't on that carousel, oh, my goodness.
Yes.
And the majority
yes.
of the stuff in that bag is dirty. It means it's worn, it's used, and can be replaced.
Yes.
And some of the mental baggage we carry around, we need to leave that at baggage claim because we cannot live our best lives if we are still carrying around baggage from the past. But we just have a hard time letting go of it. And, you know, and so I think also that's why there has been over the past 10, 15 years such a proliferation of life coaches because people are, like you're saying, we are becoming diseased. And I think people are starting to understand the correlation between your mental space and your physical being. And how they interconnect and they intertwine. So what have you come to the conclusion then is a life coach? Is it therapy? Is it positive thinking?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Linda.
Yes. How have you come to define that?
So for me, there are many, many different types of coaches. Life coaches. Everybody has their own niche. You have some coaches who are motivators. You know, their whole thing is about motivating. You have some coaches who help people to dream bigger, put their dreams on vision boards, and, you know, they have all kinds of paperwork and templates and, you know, and journals and, you know, writing and things of that nature. For me, life coaching is all about helping an individual activate the coach within them. So for me, coaching is it's like a tutor, it's like a guide. Okay? So what I'm doing is I'm guiding you back to you. Guiding you back to your authentic nature. I have a 2-year maximum for my program because people pay attention and get your life. I'm not here forever for you to lean on and be with to do your work. Do your work and then fly. Activate your own inner coach. So I support people in really looking in the mirror, as I said, with my mentors, and seeing themselves through their own eyes. That's the most important thing. I don't really think of it as therapy, even though it could be therapy. You know, it really could, because people do get their lives changed. They feel better. They feel more relaxed. It takes the stress off. It gives people a different perspective. You know, I tell my clients tell me, because, you know, they call me everything. They call me guru. They call me best friend. They call me one of my clients called me Dr. Phil. I'm a Dr. Phil and Oprah mixed up together. I mean, people call me a lot of things. But for me, I am a support system until people can build their own. Most people who come to me are very powerful. They're out doing their thing. They have either big corporate jobs, or they're entrepreneurs, or they're, you know, doing some type of mastery in their work. But they don't have a strong support system. They don't have people who really believe in them, because they're trying to, like you said, they're trying to transition. They want to change careers. They want to do something more natural. I had a doctor, MD, come to me, and she said, you know, I really want to move into the holistic practice, but I don't have a lot of support in my community. And so I really need some help being able to move into naturopathic practice. I was like, oh, yeah, wonderful. I said, you know, well, you already know about healing. So, you know, it should be easy from there. She said, I know nothing about healing. She said, they don't teach you how to heal as a doctor. They teach you how to prescribe, and they teach you how to treat symptoms.
That's right.
I was blown away. I was blown away, you know, and so I said, wow. So she was coming here to clear and release and let go of what she had learned so she can make the transition and become her true self, a healer, as an authentic, natural healer. And so that's what life coaching is for me. People come here, we get cleared, you know, we grow up emotionally, we grow up spiritually, and then we become our best selves. And once a person can see themselves, then I can step out of the picture. Because one of the things I really love that Dr. Miles Monroe said one time is, you know, one of the signs of a great leader is when he renders himself unnecessary. And so for me, that's what I live by. So when I render myself unnecessary to my clients, I know that I have done my spirit's work. So that's what it is for me.
So share with us, what are the life lessons that you have learned from your journey? What life lessons have you learned, and how have you been able to apply those lessons not only to your life, but to the lives of your clients?
Oh, my goodness. So many lessons. So one of the things, and I think I talked about this a little earlier, well, probably the biggest thing in my life was to trust. Trust what I'm hearing from the inside out. Because I grew up with this, you know, trust of everyone else. Like I said, everybody else's opinion mattered to me more than my own, more than what I was feeling and hearing from my inner space and from my inner spirit. And so that was kind of the biggest lesson for me. And now I have such a solid trust in my inner spirit and what I'm hearing from the inside out that I move in a way that really is liberating. It really is freedom, because I'm free from the thoughts and feelings of how other people feel, even though I honor that, because I believe that we should be gracious to people, because people are operating out of their pain and pathology. And so I'm very gracious, and I definitely honor people where they are and how they're feeling, but I know my truth. And that's another big lesson, is I learned that my truth is my truth, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not the truth. It's not gospel truth. It's my truth. It's how I live. And the reason I learned this lesson is because I used to be so on what I believed. And then a year later, I would believe something totally different. And I done fought for this belief. You know what I'm saying? I done fought people and argued with people and debated with people on this belief. And then a year later, I'm going to believe in something different. And so I, you know, and so I stopped doing that. I was like, I'm not going, you know, my truth can change because I am an evolving spirit. I am growing
right.
all the time. My humanity is learning all the time. So I'm not going hardcore support no truth that I'm believing, because when I learn something different, which I'm always learning, then that truth
That's
is going
right.
to change. And so what that did is it also freed the person, the people in my life, because when they say stuff, I'm not holding them so hard to it that they can't grow. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of times that's what we do. We hold people in our lives hostage, and we don't let them grow because they said they were this way. I'm like, can I grow?
Right.
Can people grow? And this is one of the things I say to my clients. And then when my clients come here, they begin to change. And this is
yeah.
another lesson that I learned, is that you're changing. And they come in, they start complaining about their people. And I'm like, look, they didn't change. They're not coming to life coaching. You
mm-hmm.
changed. And so it's up to you now to create a safe environment, a sacred environment, so that they can understand what it is that you're doing and why you're doing it, because you're the one who decided to change. So if you want to nurture this relationship and you want to keep the relationship, you got some explaining to do because you're shifting.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
So
and I
you're
think
gonna
people
do
are
it.
They're naturally resistant mm-hmm. to change. Even
naturally.
If even if the place they're at is not comfortable,
yes.
they still
yes.
are resistant to change.
Very resistant. And so what I tell people, because a lot of times people say, you know, I'm confused. This is another thing I learned, is there is no confusion, only resistance. So when people say they're confused, they're not really confused. I'm like, okay. So somebody says they're confused. I'm like, what are you resisting?
Mm-hmm.
What are you resisting? And I learned also to get, I am the co-creator of my life. This
right.
was one another one of my biggest lessons. I take full ownership of every
sure.
single thing that happens in my life. Why? The reason why I take full ownership is because when you take full ownership of everything that happens in your life, you can shift it and change it anytime you get ready.
Sure.
If you give other people ownership, like if I say, no, Linda, you did this to me, you did that to me, I got to wait
right.
for you to come back and fix it. And if you don't,
that's right.
I got to carry the marbles around with me.
That's right. I call that a victim's mentality. And that means
absolutely.
It's not my fault, the reason why I'm in this situation. So that means it's not my responsibility to get me out of it.
And it's the way people look at it, because it's not about faulting. It's about get fully present to what you
that's
have
right.
created, why you have created it, and get the lesson so you will never have to create it again.
Again.
And
that's
the other
right.
side
life,
of
I tell
that,
people all the time, life is a series of lessons. And until you
yes.
learn that lesson, you're going to keep going through the same situation
yes.
over and over and over again. That's right.
Yes. And
until
the other side of that is you can create whatever you want. And so not only do you have to get fully present to creating the bad and the ugly, but you get fully present to creating the good, the wonderful,
good.
The lovely. And so you take ownership of it all, and then you show gratitude to your divine, you know, higher power, whoever that is or whatever that is for you. Just being in a space of gratitude at all times, that's another one of my biggest lessons, is learning how to be in a space of gratitude. You would not believe, and I know, Linda, you probably know this because you can do some stuff, but you would not believe the shift, the swiftness of the shift, if you can be in turmoil and go to gratitude. If you can
oh.
be in gratitude and you in turmoil, how quickly that thing will shift.
Quickly.
It will
That's
shift
exactly
quickly.
Right. I tell clients, okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to get a post-it note or something, and every day I want you to write down something that you're grateful for and put it up on the mirror every day, so that when you start going into your pity party. And I tell you, everybody has a pity party. People love pity parties. They're, you know, people have fun in pity parties, so they stay there. But I tell them, when you start to have your pity party and you're tired of being there, then go to your gratitude board and go to your mirror and look at all your post-it notes so that you can see what it is you're grateful for. Because, and you know this, Milani, it's much easier for us to think about what we don't have as opposed to what we right. That just, that simple shift in the way you look at things. You know, people say, is your glass half full or half empty? I tell them, I don't care. I got something in the glass. I don't care if it's half full or half empty. I got something in it. So it's a shift your attitude and how you think of things. And you're right, that shifted. And I tell particularly the ladies that are now in a space of transition, in a space of homelessness, that this is going to pass. Be grateful that you're in this place here, because you and your children could be out on the street trying to find a place to be in. So be grateful
Absolutely.
That you're, because there are people who would gladly be here and stop thinking about, oh, I hate this place and I don't like this, that. Stop thinking about that. So, you know, you're absolutely right. But as we kind of wind down here a little, you've got two events, that's the clearing and the I am Master Teacher. Talk to us a little bit about those and give us a little information on those.
Okay. Yeah, so the clearing is what we talked about earlier, where people actually, this is a workshop that you can come, and we use a modality that we call cellular memory releasing or intentional breathing. And so what this does is we go into this atmosphere where we're using the breath and we're using music and we're using other tools to help you to clear out all of those marbles that we talked about earlier. It really is a very powerful way and probably the quickest way for you to move that old cellular memory out of your body. We pull in so much oxygen into the body that it pops open the cells and releases memory, because we are intentionally releasing old memory patterns from ourselves. It's a very, very powerful workshop. It's a two-hour workshop, and it's going to be on this Saturday, the 19th, at 4:30 p.m. So if you want more information on that, you can go to theclearing1.eventbrite.com, or you can give us a call at 404-200-3796. Our other workshop that we're doing is called I Am Master Teacher. So this is kind of like my coming out as teaching now people how to do what I do. And so this is really my first class on this. This is the first time that I'm really just bringing out to people, because I've been teaching people how to activate themselves. Now I want to teach people how to actually teach people how to activate themselves, how to bring their authentic nature. And so we're doing the clearing, we're doing activation, we're going to do integration, because something that's really important is that not only that you know, that's only the first part. The wisdom of it is that you can practice and integrate what you know. And so we're going to have that part. That's going to be the third stage. And then the fourth stage is we're actually going to have people be able to work on people and do what we call a hands-on healing segment. So that is going to be a very, very powerful workshop. It is an 8-week workshop, and it actually starts on September 2nd. We're really excited about it because it's the first time I've done something like this. We already have, I'm only taking 12 people. We have 8 signed up, so we have about 4 or 5 slots left. And so you can go to, I don't know the link on that one, but you can call us at 404-200-3796 if you're interested in either one of those workshops.
So tell us here, as we come to a close, what is your vision of where you're going? What's next for Milani Shani?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Linda, because I'm really excited. We are, you know, we want to make this thing global. One of the things is I named my company Milani Shani Global Empowerment a long time ago because I really want to go global, really in helping people to be who they are authentically, because I really believe that we can change this world one person at a time. And so what we're doing now is we have the Activate You Now University, which we do live, which we're doing the Master Teacher class and the Clearing Under. Now we're going to create an online platform so we can reach more people in more places, more people at a time. And so we're creating the Activate You Now University online. And we're so excited because, of course, in the last 25 to 30 years, I've created about 30 workshops. I have class after class after class. I have over 100 block talk radio shows. And so I'm going to take all of that and I'm going to create a place where people can come and take classes. There will be videos. Of course, I've amassed this huge relational wealth with the people around me and in my community. So I'm going to have some of the master teachers that are around me and that are masters at what they do also come on. We have one who's a rock star chef. We have somebody who does business coaching. And so we're really just going to create this community of master teachers to go out and really help people to activate their lives. So I'm really, really excited about that. We also want to create a tour, which we're still talking about, where we can teach people how to source their spirit, because a lot of people are living out of their humanity, just the human, running amok in your life. And what you really want to do, you are human and you are spirit, but what you really want to do is allow spirit to be in the driver's seat of your life. And just let your humanity, you know, let her you know, have her thing and do her thing sometimes, but spirit really needs to be in charge. And so that's what we want to do, help people to learn how to source their spirit, do some spiritual education classes and take a tour and go all over the world. So that's what the vision is, and we're really excited about it and building our infrastructure for it, because we know once we start to step out, we need a house where people can come and learn more. So that's what we're up to.
Very good. We want to thank you, Milani, for joining us this evening. You have been just absolutely phenomenal in your wisdom and in your knowledge. And just the way you are able to connect with an audience to be able to bring your message to the point where you can understand it. You know, we have to meet people not where we are in order. You can have a great message, but if you speak and no one, it doesn't connect to anyone, then your message is in vain. And so I want to thank you for your delivery and for your passion and for what you're doing. Because I'm like you. At the end of the day, when I stand before the Lord, if he says, what have you done? And if I can say, Lord, I have helped one person, then it's all good. And so you're right. We have one person at a time. So as we close, can you tell our listeners how they might be able, once again, to get in touch with you if they wanted to reach out to you?
Yes, I just want to say thank you so much, Linda, for having me. You are a beautiful spirit, and I'm so happy and proud of you that I was able to, that you were able to go into women's lives and really just touch them based on what you've been through. I'm so happy that I created you in my life so I could see a full reflection of myself. So I just want to say thank you so much for showing me myself in you. You are a phenomenal person, and I know that's why your show is phenomenally yours. So thank you so much. My phone number, you can reach me at 404-200-3796. And you can also reach me through email at my name, Milani Shani. That is MALANESHANI at gmail.com. Again, you can reach us at 404-200-3796 or reach me at MilaniShani@gmail.com.
I want to thank you for joining us this week. Be sure to join us every week on Blog Talk Radio and We Speak Life Radio to hear from another phenomenal person. Or you can listen to our broadcast on blogtalkradio.com/discover a new beginning. If you would like to be a guest on the show or you know someone who is phenomenal, please contact me at linda@lindahwilliams.com. So I leave you with these words from that phenomenal woman, Maya Angelou. I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man, the fellas stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes and the flash of my teeth, to the swing in my waist and the joy in my feet. You see, I'm a woman, phenomenally, phenomenal woman. That's me. Thank you so much, Melani, for joining us this week, and we'll see you here again next week. Thank you. Good night.